Geeks and Nerds, welcome to Real Geeks.
Hey guys.
Here we are with the big one, the really big one.
That's right, 10 years of prequels and we finally hit the main story.
Oh my goodness.
Best part is, that's not wrong.
This has been such a culmination. Oh my god. Like, I never in my wildest dreams could have imagined what I experienced going into this whole thing 10 years ago with Iron Man. Because that was fun as hell.
Yeah.
But just like, sure, the idea of the Avengers being hinted in that, that was awesome. But to go to the level that they have since then, all the movies that have come since, from all the other Iron Man sequels to Thor, Captain America, to Guardians of the Galaxy, and Black Panther, and Doctor Strange, and Spider-Man, and...
So, apparently, since he's not going to say it, for those of you who may have missed the title card, we're discussing Avengers Infinity War.
How you missed the title card, I don't know, but...
So, we got to do the proper intro. Stop. Right now! I'm editing. I get to cut that. I'm not going to, but I get to.
You knew what you were getting into.
So, for those of you who don't know, this is basically the Marvel Universe's Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. This is not the time to come into the franchise.
That being said, if you have not seen any other Marvel movie and you go into this movie completely blind, I think there's enough there that you can get the weight of what this movie represents.
Oh yeah,
but then go back and fucking watch the other 18 goddamn movies.
Yeah, the movie will stand on its own, but you might be better off doing a little homework first. So, basically, here's how this whole thing works. The less stupid-looking Steppenwolf comes to Earth. Yeah, I'm not letting that go. So, Thanos and his crew eventually come to Earth looking for the Infinity Stones because, I mean, let's be honest, Thanos is so far the only Avengers character who hasn't had his own movie yet, aside from Hawkeye, which...
Good luck on that happening anytime soon. Black Widow's gonna get a movie before Hawkeye does.
Finally. But yeah, basically, if you haven't seen it yet, obviously further in their view, we're gonna spoil the hell out of this thing. But before that, here's what you need to know. Don't go to the first viewing by yourself. And I'm not saying that because this is a super dark film. I mean, okay, yes, for Marvel, it's really dark, but this is not the DC universe we're talking about here. No. I say this more because there's going to be one hell of a lot to unpack with this movie. Go with friends. Make plans for after the movie. Y'all going to want to discuss some shit. Because things go down.
Even if you just go with one other person.
Yeah.
A friend, significant other, doesn't matter. Just don't go by yourself for your first time into this.
Or just even a friend who's already seen it on standby, like that you can text or call afterward. You are going to need to have conversation.
Yes.
Make sure that there is a plan in place so that you can have it.
And you are also going to need consoling.
Okay, yeah. Honestly, you kind of will. But have that first viewing. have that conversation. Let the movie sit with you for a few days. And then go see it again. So, I mean, God knows I'm going to.
God knows any nerd in their right mind is going to.
I mean, will this do Black Panther numbers in terms of repeat viewing? Not necessarily.
It's really hard to say.
Is it going to need those repeat viewings to do Black Panther numbers?
Yes. To some extent.
I say probably not, but money-wise, I could see them being so neck and neck that could go either way.
So, funny story, guys. It turns out that when Thanos demanded our silence, he was not kidding. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, what you've just watched was all we could salvage out of about 90 minutes of the original recording. But on the plus side, the camera pretty much shut off right before the spoiler talk anyway. So we're just going to jump right in because A, I don't want Thanos to strike again, and B, we're recording in my parents' apartment. So many thanks to them, and I want to get the hell out of here as fast as possible. And also, if you see me checking my watch fairly frequently, there's a very good reason, because that's how I'm controlling the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, straight into the good stuff. And there's really only one place to start, which is a moment of silence for pretty much all of Asgard.
They've been through shit.
The Asgardians are pretty much the MCU's Vulcans. They are now an endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly saddest of all, Loki of Asgard, no longer burdened with glorious purpose. I know Tom Hiddleston basically desperately needs another franchise, but damn.
Yeah.
There are moments that are just panel by panel, the original Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet comics.
Yes.
Because you switch the Hulk with Silver Surfer,
mm-hmm.
and that arrival is straight out of the comic.
Yes. What were some of your favorite moments from this movie?
You know what? Especially considering they can't do a solo Hulk movie.
Yes.
They're doing a real good job with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I know Ruffalo has said, we can't do a solo Hulk film.
No.
So we're going to do a Hulk trilogy in other movies.
Yeah.
So, like, Thor Ragnarok was part one. This was part two.
And Avengers 4 will be part
logically,
three.
Logically, yeah. And the things that they do with him, especially considering we don't see the Hulk on screen in this movie for more than 2-3 minutes, give or take. With the Hulk being barely on screen, they did an awful lot to sell and develop that character, and that was truly impressive.
Absolutely.
And I think otherwise, I'll wrap up with, of course, Tom Holland. I'm sorry, this is the best Spider-Man we have had since the mid-90s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
This man is a treasure and must be protected. After this, I don't want anyone else. I don't want the Venom movie because I don't want Sony anywhere near him.
Yeah.
There's things like we're using our made up names line, which unfortunately the take that they used in the trailer
was better than in the movie.
Was better in the movie, but like it's still a great moment.
Yeah.
And then there's, well, how can I be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man if there's no neighborhood?
I fucking love that line.
And, like, even as Tom Holland is continuing the line going, I know saying that doesn't make any sense. And you can see Robert Downey Jr. like in the background, like, fuck, this kid got me again. Parker hacked Tony the suit that Tony made in Homecoming, and then he shut him up here. Tony Stark has now been owned twice by a 16-year-old kid. about that for a minute.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments in this movie was the scene on Vengar, where of all the things to keep secret, of all the reveals to have in this movie, we get Thanos and Gamora coming to Vengar to get the Soul Stone, and they are greeted by this cloaked figure that looks very much like Death from the comics, the personification of Death. But you're hearing the voice, and you're like, no, it couldn't be. And then they do the face reveal, and lo and behold, it's fucking Red Skull. Not Hugo Weaving's Red Skull.
Yeah, we do have to clarify, it's not actually Hugo Weaving, it's an actor from The Walking Dead, Ronnie somebody or other, whose name I still can't remember.
Who has a similar facial structure to Hugo Weaving, so it works.
And I mean, like, the facial structure they could have CG'd, but the voice, as I understand it, was pure impression.
He owned it. He owned it.
Damn.
And my God, some might argue, why not just introduce a new character to be sort of this figure who is like this guide to the stone keeper, whatever.
And I can answer that.
My argument is they're not done with him. We're probably going to see more Red Skull in the MCU.
Logically, yes. But what I would say is that quite simply, a new character is not going to make an entire theater gasp so loud you're convinced half the audience is going to pass out lack of oxygen.
Exactly. And that happened in both of our theaters.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty.
I mean, how can you not talk about the snap? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Like that?
Or like the snap, or even right afterward.
Yeah. Because again, going back to Gamora, because like he snaps. And all of a sudden, Thanos is not where he was before. He's in this plane that's like all orange, and you see this pillar that was featured in the flashback scene on Gamora's planet, and there's child Gamora there. He walks up to her. She asks him, "Did you do it?" "Yes." "What did it cost you?" "Everything." That moment is incredible, and I could go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
But
I think if we're going to hit just one more thing, we've got to talk Thanos, because...
He scares the fuck out of you without raising his voice.
You had Killmonger, who up to this point was the best Marvel villain. Thanos has either taken that title, or is at least giving him one hell of a run for his money.
I think if he hasn't taken his title, I think he will by Avengers 4.
Oh, yeah.
Because the nuance of his character is strikingly similar to the nuance of Killmonger's character, but with one key difference. Killmonger at times could be a little heavy-handed because of his preachiness. But he still had those deep emotional moments too. Thanos has those deep emotional moments, which you wouldn't necessarily expect from a character that's considered a quote-unquote big bad. But
he's just a straight up, this is what I want to do.
Yep.
This is why I want to do it.
Yep.
You're not going to stop me.
Yep.
And he's so calm about it.
And so confident.
Yeah. That you're not only thinking, okay, our heroes may be in real trouble here, but there's that part of you that's kind of going, I think Thanos has a point.
Exactly. I've talked to some people about this, and this is the big thing, is that both Killmonger and Thanos represent types of villains that I really appreciate. Villains who have a clear idea of an issue that is really bothering them, and they want to solve that issue. But their methods about solving that issue are so far to the extreme that you can't possibly 100% be on their side. Hence, they are villains. But they believe what they are doing is right and just, and that is for the greater good. And while I think maybe Killmonger might be a little more selfish in his overall motivations, I think Thanos, he believes he's being more selfless with his motivations. He wants to wipe out half of all life in the universe. That sentence in and of itself sounds horrifying, but when you consider the fact that his home planet of Titan wrecked itself because of overpopulation, and he was like, okay, I'm not going to let this happen to anybody else. I'm going to go to all these other planets in the galaxy. I'm going to systematically have their populations.
Basically, and watch this, y'all. This is the one connection he's never going to see coming. If you really think about it, Thanos is pretty much an environmentalist. He's just trying to deal with overpopulation.
Yeah.
He's the MCU's Al Gore. That literally that just hit me, and it's like,
and he has
it's so perfect.
And he has the same kind of demeanor that Al Gore has, too, when you
really
think about it.
That's the best thing.
He behaves like a politician, which makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. And again, also getting back to the snap, just the look of fear and defeat.
Mm.
Just in the two Chrises.
Mm.
You hear Thor's, "What did you do? What did you do?" When he, like, he's panicking because he realizes something is seriously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already said, what more do I have left to lose? And realize that he's about to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Chris Evans, Captain America. The supremely confident, always optimistic going into any conflict, Captain America. And you just hear, he just stands there, it's just, oh God. And they sell it so well, doing so little, that it's just beautiful.
And the look on Tony's face after, and this is the other heart-wrenching thing too, is that so many of those, after the snap, and all of a sudden all these people start fading to dust, the look on people's faces.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking in the audience, I'm talking on screen. Because a good majority of them fade to dust in front of people close to them. Bucky fades to dust in front of Cap. Groot fades to dust in front of Rocket. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, fades to dust in front of Tony.
And they drew that one out. I didn't start crying, but I was in the theater like, but no!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, Doctor Strange hit me the most because he's my favorite fucking character. Oh my God. I was like, really? But that being said, Spider-Man's got to be a close second because that scene...
Yeah.
It's just way too heart-wrenching to not be.
I think in Doctor Strange's case, you kind of respect the character more for it because he's basically going, I'm going to let myself die so that we can win.
Mm.
And
which is saying something because you go back to his movie and he wins by losing.
Yeah.
Again and again and again. So this idea of winning by losing was foreshadowed 2 years ago, guys.
Oh, yeah. And I think, at this point we should wrap it up.
Yeah. We're going to do what we did then. On the count of three, we're each going to say our rating for this movie. 1, 2, 3. Five out of five.
It's not only is this entertaining, It hooks you. It makes you think. You're asking questions. Yeah. You need time to let it sit with you.
Yeah.
That
it hits you on every emotional level. That was simultaneously both the most epic and most heart-wrenching thing I have ever seen in my life.
For a movie whose story is predominantly about Thanos, it's well-balanced. I pulled that one out in the original recording. There's no way I wasn't using that again. On that note, and since, frankly, I want to give my parents their apartment back.
And frankly, after several hours of working, I need sleep.
So, with that, we'll see you guys next time, whenever the hell that is.
That's a wrap.
Hey there! Did you enjoy the review? Why not give us a like? Hit the subscribe button. You can send us an email at realgeekshfx@gmail.com. And tune in next time when you might hear me wonder aloud when Marvel is going to finally sign Chris Pine to a movie and take full control of every leading actor named Chris.
DC, I'm sorry.
Just stop.
DC, I'm sorry, but when the third movie of a big team up in a franchise can do more in its opening weekend than your first does in its entire goddamn run, you need to get your heads out of your asses and figure your shit out.
They're both the same story. Which is just the funniest thing. Like, I'm sorry, but as much as at the end of the day, I just want a good comic book movie, I don't care where it's from. Warner Brothers, just give up. Tap out, it's time.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I feel like DC Films could do a better job without your hand in it. Like, let them do their thing. Let them become their own, like, a Marvel Studios type thing. Let them focus on making the movies that they want to make and make them good. And just distribute them. That's all you have to do. That's what Disney does. And look how many billions of dollars they're making.
It's literally like, I swear, I'm just going to put this part at the end of the review as a stinger or something. Mm. But it's literally like the fandom went, okay, Marvel, there's no way you guys can kick the DCEU anymore. And Marvel Studios literally went,
oh, really?
Hold our beer. We'll be right back.
And it's not even like they're copying DC or DC's copying them. I mean, yeah, it's happened in the comics, but Infinity War has been in the pipes longer than Justice League started its shooting.
Oh, okay. Oh, we gotta stop now before I actually do break.